But we're in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we left off in verse 12. I kind of was running late, so I messed some stuff up there. Anyway, we've been going through Matthew chapter 11. We're in verse 12, and we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the message. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And Father, Lord, we just pray for those that are around the world today that need healing, Lord, that need grace, that just need comfort from your words, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would just... You're a provider, Lord, and you provide the needs of us all. And we pray that you would just provide what we need. And Father, now we pray that you would just open our eyes to your words and open our ears that we would hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Go with me, if you would, to John. John chapter 6, verse 15. And here is a good commentary on this, on what Jesus is saying there. He just got done feeding the 5,000. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Okay? So basically, Jesus was feeding the people. He's preaching to the people, and he's feeding the people. And because he fed them, what you had is you had Rome in charge of Israel. They're under their bondage. They're feeding them. They're clothing them. And they're providing for Israel, but yet they're under bondage. And Jesus is now coming on the scene. He's claiming, he's coming on the scene as the Jews' king. The Jews see that he can feed them, and they want to take him by force and make him a king because he could provide for them. And Jesus isn't going to have that. They wanted, these Jewish people, they wanted peace. And they wanted their world hunger problem fixed, and at any price, but the price of repentance and humiliation. And that's what it boils down to. To take the kingdom by force would be to violate it. It's to violate it. Jesus wants the Jew to receive it under the conditions that he sets forth, that Jesus sets forth, that John the Baptist had set forth, and they don't want it. And you're going to see a little bit later, hopefully we get to it. But what they set forth is they have to receive the gospel, right? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of God. They have to receive it. Whether it's that age, whether it's this age, they have to receive the words, the message. And so last week I made that statement that violence is a mark of devil possession. And you see the maniac of Gadara. He was a violent man. He wouldn't let anybody come into the coast, right? He could break the chains. No man could tame him. And so, that's the case with that maniac of Gadara. He's violent. And so the kingdom of heaven, it suffereth violence. And Jesus likened that generation, the generation that he's in now, that generation goes from here till he comes back, folks. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. He likens the generation in Matthew 3:7, we'll go there real quick. Matthew 3:7, he likens it to vipers. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So he says, this is a generation of vipers. A viper is a serpent. It's a serpent. And what did Jesus say to these serpents? He said, ye are of your father the devil. ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus already knows they're going to murder John. Jesus already knows they're going to murder him. They've murdered the prophets in the past. They're just murderers. And that's Israel. And so Israel, they're doing the same thing that the devil does. The devil, he doesn't abode in the truth. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. No truth in him. You know what that means, folks? That when he's speaking a supposed half-truth, the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Right? There's no truth in him. Not 80% truth. No. The whole thing is a lie. The Bible says there's no truth in him. He was a murderer. Okay, so he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. A lie is a lie, folks. All right? You can justify it however you want, but a lie is a lie. The new perverted Bibles, they're lies. All of it. All right? There's no truth in it. They're lies. So he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was this is a being that is full of violence, folks. Full of violence. Ezekiel 28:16. Go there if you would. Ezekiel 28:16. Here's when he was created, he was created perfect. The Bible says, verse 15, Ezekiel 28, verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence." And so, pride is violence. Anything that exalts itself against the word of God, against God's statutes, against his commandments, against his ordinances, is violence, folks. That's what it says here. Hey, he was filled with pride. He was lifted up in pride. That's violence. That's against God. That's against his... he didn't create him to be like that. He didn't create him to be rebellious towards God. But he was. He is... So they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Alright? So anything sinful is violence against God. And that's where the Jewish nation was at. The nation of Israel was violent. They weren't obeying the word of God. And that's what it comes down to. Not to obey the word of God is violence. Now, I don't believe that the devil was the physical father of those people Jesus was talking to. And so many times when Jesus is talking, he'll say something that that should be taken spiritual, and sometimes, you know, we may take it physical. But I don't believe that was his father. Hey, he said, "Father, forgive them." Those people that were killing him, for they know not what they do, right? So why would God didn't come to earth to forgive people that can't be forgiven. So why would he say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? So there's many things that we need to really physically look at some things and ask some questions. Is this physical? And you're going to see some more things here in this in these passages about the physical and the spiritual side of things. The first birth is not any good, right? So you have to be born again. That's why he says ye must be born again. And the Jew, in their carnal mind, says, "How do I be born twice?" Right? So Jesus has to explain to them, "Hey, it's a spiritual birth." And so the carnal mind sometimes can't see the physical. They can't decipher the physical between the spiritual. And that's just the human nature. That's how we are. And all of us are carnal, folks. We're all carnal. None of us are 100% spiritual all the time, right? So that's just that. Jesus was Judas. He was, the Bible says that he was one of you was a devil, right? And he went to his own place. But folks, Judas chose to go there. He had a choice. He chose to go there. And that spirit of Antichrist is going to come back. It's already in the world, but it's going to come back and embody somebody else, right? And when you're going to see here, when Jesus is talking about John being Elias or Elijah, that it's not the physical Elijah on earth. It's not a physical bodily person of Elijah, but it's the spirit of Elijah. He's in the power of Elijah. So you're going to see some of that stuff, those differences here. So we'll keep moving on. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, guess what, folks? If the unsaved people, they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know where they're going to go? They're going to go to their own place, right? They're going to go to hell. That's their place. And so Jesus can say, hey, you're of your father, the devil. Is it a physical father, or would it be a spiritual father? Is God our physical father? We're not his only begotten son. Jesus Christ was. We are spiritually the sons of God, right? If you're saved, you're a son of God. And you get that because of Jesus Christ. And so that's the spiritual side. That's the spiritual birth. And so when we're first born, we're born in the world. It's a spiritual, you're born physically into this world, but spiritually, you're not God's child yet, right? So you got to be somebody's child. And if you start doing some studying in Cain and Abel, you'll see that God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply twice, right? He told them to be fruitful and multiply before they fell, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply after they fell. And so, rightfully, you could say Cain was of that wicked one, right? They were in a fallen state. So, I'm not going to go any further in there, but there's some other studies you can do on that and see some of those differences. But we got to ask ourselves, hey, is Jesus saying, is this a physical thing or is it spiritual? And so what I try to do is, unless it's not clearly physical, folks, if it's not clearly spelled out physical, you almost have to take it spiritual. Otherwise, the mind will go goofy on you and you'll start, you know what I'm saying? And you'll start thinking some weird stuff. And it can't be backed up by Scripture. And so we have to, there's got to be a place where we just say, hey, this can't be physical here unless Jesus is clear, unless it's clearly in the Scriptures. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, you got to take it a different way. Okay, so we'll keep moving on there now. People in a lawless society that rule over others, folks, they do it by force. They set up their own system of governments, right? It's exactly what the Romans did. That's what the Jews are doing. They've got their own system under the Romans. They're always undermining the Romans any chance they get. And that's to rule over their own people. But they set up a system of government not based upon righteousness. What do we live in today? We don't live in a system of government where laws are created to keep people in a righteous state. No. Those laws here today are set up to produce gain, folks. Gain for themselves, those that set these laws up, the government. Not the actual government, but the people in government, they take advantage of the government. And they created their own system of the government. They take your money, they give it away. They give it to other people. And so, for their own gain. And so, but when Jesus rules, he's going to set up a system of righteousness, folks. And when he punishes somebody, it will be just and not for his gain, right? It's going to be because they deserve it. Right? Verse 13, Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesieth until John. Until John. What did the law and the prophets prophesy of? So what the Holy Spirit is teaching here, folks, is how the Old Testament was set up, right? It was set up in the law and the prophets, which spoke of Christ, right, and His kingdom to come. And so Christ was foretold by the signs of the Mosaic work. When Moses went into Pharaoh, those things were told. They were foretold, the signs of Christ. And also by the voices of the prophets. The voices of the prophets were speaking about Jesus Christ. So Christ was shown to the world by verbal predictions or prophecies and in-person types, folks. Moses was a type of Christ, right? David was a type of Christ. Saul was a type of the Antichrist. So you have those typologies all throughout the Scriptures. Go with me, if you would, to Luke 24:27. And watch what Jesus says, or watch what the Scriptures say. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. So you see, folks, the Old Testament prophets and the prophecies of the Old Testament, they spoke of Jesus Christ and that he would come, right? And they gave prophecies about his first coming and his second coming, and all those things. But so what we have an advantage over John and over the Jews in that day, because we have the New Testament. We have the New Testament doctrine, folks, to explain the Old Testament prophecies, and vice versa, right? And so the Old Testament prophecies to confirm and illustrate the New Testament doctrine. We have those Old Testament prophecies also to confirm and illustrate the New Testament doctrine. You see what I'm saying? And so, go with me if you would to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 1. Scriptures is very clear. And where it's not, then we just have to pray and ask the Lord for guidance and understanding and wisdom about those things. But chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so God spoke to those people. He spoke through the prophets. And he spoke through the Word of God. And so, where are we at here? So what is he saying here? He's not saying that the prophecies are over, folks. That's not what he just said, right? Matthew 11:13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until now. And so Jesus, he's not saying that the prophecies are over, but that the law and the prophets prophesied until John. About what? About me. About Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And so, does that mean they're done? Not at all. The prophets are dead. John is dead. The apostles are dead. And although they are alive forevermore, folks, they're alive forevermore with Christ because they trusted the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. They believed the Scriptures. When God told them something, they believed it, right? So they're there, and they're there for Christ. They're there with him forevermore. They're not on here on earth, but that doesn't mean that the scriptures don't prophesy anymore. The scriptures are still prophesying. 1 Peter 1, 24. There is no 24, chapter 24. There may be in some other person's version, but not in this one. 1 Peter 1, 24. The Bible says, "For all flesh is grass." We know that people die. Prophets are dead. Apostles are dead. "All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth." And grass has flower, folks. Yeah. The bees collect pollen off of grass. When there's no physical flowers out there, there's little tiny flowers on the grass. Because they collect pollen from it. But "for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Even though those prophets are dead, even though John is dead, or he's going to be dead, the word of God endures forever. And so those prophecies, just because they're dead, that doesn't mean they're over with. There's still some to go, folks. There's still some to go. And prophecies will cease, but in the Lord's time. And we know that. So chapter 11, verse 14 of Matthew. Now watch what he says here. "For all the prophets," verse 13, "for all the prophets and the law prophesieth until now. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." Right? If you'll receive what? Verse 13. "What all the prophets and the law prophesied about Jesus." Right? If you'll receive it. Look at Malachi 4. Malachi 4. It's the end of the Old Testament. In the book. The Old Testament doesn't end until Jesus dies. But in this Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament are designated by these chapters. So we'll go ahead and read that here. Malachi 4, 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Malachi 4, 5 and 6. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Okay? And so Jesus says, if you will receive what the prophets before John said about me, right? If you will receive what John said about me, and what the law said and showed about me, then this is going to be Elias. This will be Elias. Now, is he physically Elias? No. So here Jesus is saying something spiritual again, right? He doesn't say, "I'm going to spiritually speak to you about Elias." No. He says, he makes a statement, and the spiritual ear needs to hear what he's saying. And so he's going to ask that question here in a little bit. He says, if you'll receive those prophets and what they said about me, then John will fulfill the ministry of Elias. All right? That's what he's saying. That's how you have to take it. Because Elias isn't physically there in person. And so we'll find in some other scriptures that he's not there in person. John himself denies that he is Elias. We know that, right? He denies that. They ask him the question. He says, "I'm not Elias." But the carnal man, the carnal Jew, expected the physical person of Elijah. That's who they expected to show up on the scene. And that's why they asked him, "Hey, are you Elias?" He's not. He said it. "I'm not him." But go with me, if you would, to John. John 1. John 1. So here's another case where Jesus is talking spiritual. And the Jews are seeing, the carnal Jew is seeing the physical. They're looking for physical. John 1:21. And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." He's saying, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." It doesn't get any clearer than that, right? That's the same guy that they're asking. He's saying, "No, I'm not this person." Right? Now go with me, if you would, to Luke 1. Luke 1:17. Luke 1:17. And so we got to be really careful when we're reading the Bible. Hey, is this a literal thing that Jesus is saying here? Is this a literal thing what the scriptures are saying? Or do we got to look at the scriptures in a whole to verify that this is physical or this is a spiritual? This is literal or this is spiritual? And so we do. We have to make sure. Folks, you got to read the Bible. Got to make sure you read the whole thing. We can't just take one passage here and one passage there and apply it to doctrine. No, the Bible's doctrine is contained within, right? It's a whole Bible, not just one passage. So Luke 1:17, that's what we're doing. We're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The words of God are spiritual. He talks to us and tells us some physical things in there. He tells us some spiritual things in there. Luke 1:17. We'll start in verse 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God." We just read that in Malachi. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Right? Not his physical body. And so there we have a definition of what Jesus is saying. He's talking about the spiritual condition. This is Elias. But he's Elias in spirit and power, not in a physical body. Elijah didn't just resurrect from the grave and start walking around as John the Baptist and call his name somebody else. Okay? So just so that we're clear on that. There are parts of the Bible to be taken literal, and there are parts of the Bible to be taken spiritual. And so if it's not crystal clear, then I take it as it must be spiritual. Right? And I don't know how you guys take it. It's a free country out there, but that's how I do it. Here again, we see in verse 14 of chapter 11, a bona fide offer, right? It's a bona fide offer of the kingdom. Just as you had the law and the prophets speaking to Israel before, it was about 300 years before John shows up on the scene. You have Jesus, which is the fulfillment of the law, folks. He's the fulfillment of the law. And John, he would have been the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah in Malachi, if the Jew received the message. And some people say, but they didn't receive the message. No, they didn't. But the offer was bona fide. It was there. It was on the table. All they had to do was receive it. All right? Jesus isn't giving them an offer that he's never going to fulfill if they don't receive it. That's not how Jesus works. He's true to his word. If it's an offer, it's there. It's there for the taking. And the Jews didn't retake it. And so it doesn't get fulfilled at this time. And so Jesus and John, they bear witness of the Messiah. There's your two witnesses, folks. What does the Bible say about the two witnesses in Deuteronomy? It says, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. What's the matter here? They're talking about the Messiah. They're talking about Jesus as the Messiah. Right? So you have John the Baptist bearing witness, and you have Jesus bearing witness. You have Jesus as the law. You have John as the prophet. Right? The law and the prophets are bearing witness of Jesus. And so that matter is getting established. Christ witnessed to his own righteousness. Right? And John witnessed to Jesus Christ's righteousness, didn't witness to his own. What did he say? He says, I'm not worthy to latch his shoe. And John was a pretty clean fellow. Jesus spoke very highly of this man. And he was holy, right? That's clean. And John's saying, I'm dirty. This man's clean. I'm not even fit to loose his shoe. And so he's bearing witness to Jesus Christ's righteousness. Verse 15, and we're getting pretty close, but I'm going to see if I can run through that. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, are these physical ears or spiritual ears? We know from the scriptures, folks, that Israel does not hear the message. We've got that hindsight. I think that's hindsight. We don't have the force. We got the hindsight. It's written down, right? We know by the scriptures, Israel is going to reject. Okay? They're not going to receive the message because they didn't receive the king under his conditions. We know that. Jesus and John set forth the conditions and they don't receive it. That's laid out in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. But why don't they receive it? What's their problem? The Messiah's here. John is pointing the Jew to the Messiah. They physically heard John say this. We know that. We know that. The crowds came out and to hear John, to see him. Well, they come out to see him. I don't know if they come out to hear him, right? Because Jesus says, hey, what'd you come out to the wilderness to see? A reed? What'd you come out to see? What else? What else did he say there? A man in soft raiment, right? They were looking. They were looking. They weren't really listening. But I mean, they heard the message. They heard what he was saying, but they didn't hear it. So what part didn't they hear? What part of their ear didn't hear this? Go with me, if you would, to Acts 7. We'll be done there. Go to Acts 7. And we'll close. Acts 7, 51. Here's Stephen, and he's preaching at those Jews, and what does he say? He says, ye stiff-necked. Verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Last time I looked, there's no need to circumcise your ears. So it's not a physical circumcision. So it has to be a spiritual circumcision. And so when we're looking at this, we say, okay, so if it's a spiritual circumcision, because the last time I looked, there was nothing that needed to be cut off the ear, right? So it's got to be spiritual. So there's a spiritual ear that needs to be cut away. There's a part that needs to be cut away so we can hear spiritually. And same with the heart. Circumcised in the heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's the Jew. That's those that killed Jesus Christ. Right? And so we have to be very careful. When we're going through the scriptures, we don't get messed up in our head and start thinking some weird things. But I mean, the Bible's, if it's clear on a subject, then you can take it as solid ground. If it's not clear, then you have to be looking at the spiritual. All right? It's either physical or spiritual, folks. One or the other. And so, this Jew, their heart is searching for physical things. What's our heart searching for? Is it searching for the spiritual things of God? Or is it searching for the physical things of this world? And so we got to always constantly watch our heart and make sure that we're in line with the Word of God. And so we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your words. And Lord, thank you for just a perfect Bible. I mean, you didn't have to give us this. And somewhere along the lines, Lord, we've taken it for granted because there's another Bible out there from these Jewish people that I just took a look at, and it's starting to to deceive people there too. So, I mean, there's Bibles all over the world, Lord, and you gave us one perfect Bible, and somewhere along the line, Christians didn't uphold the Word because there's many, many words and the devil's in many Bibles. And we pray, Lord, that you would just clear up our eyes and clear up our hearts so that we would be able to present that to people in this world, and they could get a clear sight and hear clearly to see that you have your words here and you want them to be read by us. And Father, we pray now for the messages today at the nursing home and the messages today in this church and the churches throughout the country. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.